You are listening to the North Carolina Food and Beverage Podcast. Thank you for downloading and subscribing. Coming to you virtually live from high atop the historic Raleigh building in beautiful downtown Raleigh. The NCF&B takes the listener behind the scenes to tell the stories of the people that contribute to the creation of the food and beverage community of North Carolina. And now, the misfits in the dish pit, the faces of the front. They are Max Trujillo and Matthew Weiss.
Hello, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Food and Beverage Podcast. I am your co-host, Max Trujillo.
And I am your co-host, Matthew Weiss. And we made a calendar invite and finally lured this next guest into the studio for his second time on the North Carolina Food and Beverage Podcast. Your favorite chocolate maker in town. Ooh, that's controversial. But the owner, the creator of Videri, Mr. Sam Ratto.
Thanks for having me. And I'm glad that after the fourth edit of that calendar invite that I asked for, that you guys accepted it. I appreciate that.
Well, you know,
it's known.
Yeah, Anthony over at Oakwood Pizza Box famously said that, like, oh, if you're going to meet Sam Ratto for a beer, even, you need to make a calendar invite, which I kind of get.
Here's the thing. I bucked it for a long time, and I tried to be loose and free, and, like, everything's fine, and the, like, carnage that came from that was aggressive, and I had to figure out a different way to live a life where I own two companies. One of them is accidentally an international company, and I have a son, and, like, and people I want to see, and I had to do it, and it's hard some days. It's hard some days to sit there and go, you have 13 things on your calendar and there's only 24 hours in this day.
Yeah.
What happens if something goes wrong or right? And, like, when I say right, you want to stay and have a conversation for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got to pull the plug on this one. I got to go.
Right.
Sorry.
We were just talking about organizing your life, and then you realize, like, those times when you feel like you're being unproductive or lazy, or you just purposefully don't have anything on the calendar for, like, 3 hours, and you're like,
I love those times.
But I feel, like, anxious. I feel like, I think I'm supposed to be doing something. Am I not supposed to do something? And it's hard for me to just be lazy and like not do something. I love it. I love not doing something. But it's like, especially if it's in the middle of the week, like Wednesday at 2 o'clock, you know, it's like.
You suffer from serious FOMO.
Oh, totally.
That's fair.
Yeah. So Sam, welcome back. Last time that we had you on the show, we were in the comfort, cozy place of my home in our little basement studio, but now we're high atop.
I think you just got a new fancy microphone. I think that episode, Brian had given you, like, a fancy microphone sounded wonderful.
Funny that you say that, because 3 years later, those microphones don't sound that good any longer, and we are now listening. We all have, hey, everybody, we have new microphones. Does my voice sound different?
They're wonderful. I love them.
Yeah. We're moving on up. New studio, new mics, all that. And so, Sam, I wanted you to be on the show because we were just chatting with you. Felicia and I were chatting with you at Chow Chow in Asheville. The night before Matt got into town, because he has work and had to do, he had things on his calendar, and we just tore it up that night. Went to was it French Broad Chocolates in Asheville? Is that what it's called?
Yeah. So French Broad Chocolate Lounge. Jael invited myself and Greg from Dandelion in San Francisco, and my buddy Tyler from 5150 Chocolate in Florida to do a presentation on the different ways in which four companies who essentially do bean to bar chocolate have different paths to getting to the essentially chocolate. And then that was the end of my day. Yeah. Like, I had an hour long thing, and then it was like, what are you going
to
do now?
Wait, you had all that time to, you had Sam time.
So magical. And those are the moments where your calendar serves you well, where you and everybody else in your life knows that you're somewhere and that's where you are. Sounds cheesy.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, I spent the rest of the day, like, hanging out and chatting with people and eating delicious food and drinking. Oh, it was wonderful. What restaurant did we go to?
So that's the funny part. So Charlie from Sovereign Remedies was making cocktails at this French Broad Chocolatier Lounge, and you, me, and Felicia were hanging out.
Right, that party.
As he's making his drinks, we're like, you know, we're thinking about getting something to eat later on. Charlie, any recommendations? He's like, hey, assholes, how about my restaurant, Sovereign Remedies? I'm like, oh, yeah.
Fair, yeah.
So then, but then he called ahead. We get there. Place is packed. They got a perfect room for us. We sit down and then just start getting pummeled with awesome food. Mm. And, like, everyone was so nice. The chef, he's the coolest guy ever. We bumped into him at Chow Chow the next day. But everybody just loaded it up. But as we were sitting there talking, I'm like, wow, Sam, since last we spoke, you've got a lot. You've had a lot going on in your life. You've had a lot of change. I think it merited having you back on the show because I think this is a different story that we can tell than what we told the first time with you on. I guess since then till now, what are some of the things that have been happening to you?
Since we spoke 3 years ago, I parted ways from my original investor. I brought on a new investment group. My ex-wife and I got a divorce, and she no longer works in the business. And all the things that you are building towards or want to build towards when you get out of a business partnership and then you also get out of a marriage inside of a span of 3 months,
Wow!
It makes – what's fascinating is your life is going to be hard. Like when you go through a divorce, everybody will tell you it's going to be the hardest thing you ever do. Combo that up with a new business and all the trials and tribulations of even just – setting up your sales and use tax again.
Right.
And then you go through that and you have essentially it's a big brain drain from your business that you then have to compartmentalize on a daily basis in like the depths of depression. So I went from this super high of getting out of my old business partnership that wasn't working to 2 months later having the real conversation about we also have to get out of this marriage. If we want our son to have a successful, on the surface, happy life that we can provide for him, we can't be married anymore. The reality then becomes, what do you do from that point? And you can read a book. You can listen to as many podcasts as you want about divorce. You can talk to as many friends as you want to. But the real work that happens from the moment you do that to the next thing, I mean, it's just insane. You can ask me more questions about it, but like the high level is we did that, we did that, we did that. And the negative is I had to pull out a transfer company. I had to back down from all these dreams that I had and like this work that I did and then money.
Yeah.
That's the part that I think people gloss over every once in a while. It's like it cost a shitload of money and time. And I'm not saying that a divorce costs money, that's the only thing it costs. But we literally put thousands of dollars into something that just disappeared.
Just went away. Mm-hmm.
Just went away.
You know, it's just that movie came out this year, Marriage Story. Have you seen it?
No, with Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson.
I've watched it on Netflix. Look, I've watched it. And about halfway through it, I turned it off because I didn't care for the punchline. And I didn't care that the guy didn't recognize that his son is more important than his own shit. And I got halfway to the point where he's like, he got excited about dressing up for the Halloween costume or something like that. And he was just belittling his son the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm not into that shit.
Yeah, but I should
watch the rest of the movie.
when you were saying, you know, and people don't think about that, and you think like, oh yeah, getting divorced is, you know, all this shit. But like, all the peripheral shit that you have to deal with in terms of paying lawyers' fees. But like, then the whole logistics of when you have a child and shuttling them around, and then like the extra money you have to pay to maybe make your schedule work, or maybe the money you're losing because you can't focus on your business, and like the whole thing in that movie where he couldn't focus on, he had to leave a project that he was doing, and he couldn't do it.
He got a MacArthur grant, didn't he?
Him to move out of Los Angeles and the whole thing. And it's like, and I mean, I think that's also not to get like, well, we are already deep, but
might as well.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Go there, man.
I got a strawberry patch smoothie from downstairs. You know, like I'm jamming.
By the way, listeners, Matt and I are suffering from severe hangovers right now because trying a wine experience was last night and it was fun, but it was long. And there was a lot of booze. So
what I was saying is that I think that's one of the points of the movie also, not to one, to for people to recognize how hard divorce actually is, but why it's so necessary. Mm-hmm. But then also of like, yeah, what you just said, like actually ultimately it's about your kid, you know, mm-hmm. if you're a parent, and for him to realize that like, holy shit, this is, you know, not about me. I can't bring my shit onto my son.
Mm-hmm. And for me, it was, I have a really wonderful mom. Like, she's one of the greatest people I've ever met. And I asked her a critical question. I said, when you're going through a divorce with our dad, what was always your sort of driver to like get out of bed or keep doing something? And she goes, you guys.
Yeah.
So if you, when you're going through this divorce, you always have to keep him in front of you and recognize that he needs a healthy mom as much as he needs a healthy dad. And there's no point to try and punish somebody, being my ex-wife, because when you do that, you're essentially punishing your son at the same time. And so you can have that, maybe the speed of recognition that the point of this is not to fuck somebody over. It's to say, you know what? This situation isn't working. I need something different in my life. How can the two of us try and connect on some like centering point? Mm-hmm. And we both love our son so dearly that yeah. Let's try that. And it took a while, but, you know, her and I have an amicable relationship that we believe is pointed towards, you know, my son having a better life. And I always looked at it as a difficult conversation to have, but I didn't want to be screaming at somebody 3 years from now when I knew 3 years ago that I needed to do something different. And it's hard.
It's weird being in – we're all parents and – it's weird because you're going to argue. You're going to argue with your spouse at times, but it's to the level of how bad it gets and how much the kids observe is where you got to like say, okay, it's not unhealthy. It's actually – having been the producer on the Holderness Family podcast, there's a lot of family analysis going on at all times. And we have like professionals coming in. But they're like, no, it's good to argue, but – the kids need to see an argument, but they also need to see resolution, and they need to see respect mm-hmm. being given back and forth during the argument. Mm-hmm. It's when there's name calling and there's shouting and there's just kind of just no regard for each other. That's where it's unhealthy. And I guess, you know, you only can, you know, and I guess it comes to a point where it just can't happen any longer. You get to that fit, you know, that moment, I guess. Was there just like a time where you said it? This has got to be it.
The difference in my situation was never screaming arguments. It was the simple fact of not being on the same page.
Yeah.
So I learned that what I was doing was not something that somebody else wanted to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you had like different long-term end goals, right? Like you just weren't growing to the same place.
I could even go deeper into that of just wanting something different. The person I was when I was 24, 25 is completely different than the person that I am now. I hold the same physical body form, technically.
But, a little softer.
Yeah, you're like, you know, actually at 25, I weighed 250 pounds, so I'm different now. But
nice.
It's
Sam's yoked for those that can't see him.
Nah, bro. but that, I think the part of the, like what kind of person you are, what kind of person you want to become, it was almost this moment where I looked at myself and I said, what if I don't want to keep fighting somebody on like, I think this is the best way to do it. And the similar thing from her side is, this is the best way I think I should do it. And you're running on a parallel track, but you're not on the same track.
Yeah.
And I think that was the part where instead of making somebody else feel bad, like in my case, I was making somebody else feel bad because they weren't doing something I thought they should do. And also for me, not being made to feel bad because I'm not acting or doing something a certain way. And I was like, we tried for a lot of years to make it work. And I kind of looked at the situation and I had some help from some other people. And why am I trying to make somebody feel bad so that we can do something I want to do?
Yeah.
That right. didn't seem like a partnership. That seemed like we weren't a fit anymore.
It's more like an employee-employer relationship almost.
Yeah,
like,
and I think they went back and forth all the time, and there was there wasn't any grace. And the thing that I've noticed now in our conversations or communications that her and I have is there's a little bit more grace involved in it, But it's still the, every once in a while, you'll still have this like spark of, oh, we're not on the same page. Yeah. This isn't, and it's not, it's different now because it's like, oh, okay, we're on the same page about that. I don't talk about that anymore.
You know, I want to at some point get back to the culinary aspect in your business, and you're a very well respected, lauded chocolate maker, Bean to Bar Chocolate, and have this business. But I will add to that, if anybody's ever talked to a therapist or no marriage therapist, they're counseling them, they always say in couples counseling is like the most thing to bring a couple back together is that, hey guys, guess what? You want the same things. You're just not communicating how you're going about. And I think when you don't want the same things, when you realize, well, then that's the time of, yeah, like you shouldn't be together then.
Yeah.
And you have to be okay with that. Like you both should be like, well, we're not at fault for not wanting the same thing. We grew up in different ways, you know, like these two trees are growing in different directions and they don't have to be together. Which is funny, like in my relationship, Felicia and I, we've only in the last few years really realized that we don't have to like everything that each other likes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it took me so long, like I always want her to like football because I love football and I love the Raiders. And I'm always talking about like, did you hear Antonio Brown? He's fucking insane and blah, blah, blah. Or, oh, well, Tom Brady is such a cheater, blah, blah. And she just looked at me, she's like, you know, I don't care, right? And I was like upset that I'm like, just like this, like. It's been 20 years. Why can't you just like football? And then in the end, I'm like, why do I think that she has to like the things I like? And I'm like, that's fine. I know. So now I will preface, if it's a big story that's something that I care about that's just kind of affecting my life, I'll say, look, I know you don't care. I just need to tell somebody, like, it's kind of crazy what's going on with this Antonio Brown thing. And it's
nod,
gonna,
nod
like,
and smile for me. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, can I just vent? And she's like, fine. And like, that's kind of how we'll do
but
it.
But you've adjusted your, can I vent? You're not just vomiting information onto her. She's like, I think Antonio Brown is a person.
Yeah.
I
with the expectation that she's going to give me a valid, she's like, I'm not Trey Wingo. I'm not going to come back and talk to you about this. Not Mike Golick, whatever. So, it's fine. But I think, like, just accepting, like, okay, that's her. These are her shows that she likes to, you know, this is the music that she likes to listen to. Mm-hmm. This is her quiet time. But then conversely, oh, yeah, this is my private time, quiet time. These are the things I want to do. I think that's better, right?
Guess what you guys do, though, agree upon? And you like stories about people in North Carolina and
so does
folks.
She. Yeah.
We like folks.
You like
folks. We like foundations.
In North Carolina.
Yes. Matt is referring to the Folk Foundation, which is a new sponsor of our podcast. Nice transition, Matt. And we're
classy
actually having
move.
We're having a one-on-one with Leanne Sullivan later this afternoon. And whereas it might not be the Folks Foundation, I think we're going to go to Foundation, the cool subterranean bar, which was also the catalyst of last night too. So, but we're going to talk about what Folks Foundation is all about because it is a journal. It is in print and online, but it's also an organization that helps find, it would be somebody like a Sam Ratto, a crafter, a artisan, somebody in North Carolina doing something in the creative nature. And it could be food, it could be writing or music or podcasts, art, it could be whatever. But she and her team are pulling together these great stories, putting them in written form, but also organizing events. She also gives back to the community by offering grants to companies that need a little bump, a little help. And so Ballatory Roasting Company is a coffee company in New Bern, and she and her company gave them the most recent grant. There'll be new ones coming on throughout the year, and you know, she's a fan of our show. We're a fan of what she does. So if you want to know more about it, go to folksfoundation.org. You can become a member. You will get access to the journal and events and discounts on the products that are sold. So check them out.
And I'll also say that I am a fan personally, and I think, as you well know, of the Butcher's Market as well.
Oh, yeah.
And the Butcher's Market, they have, very much like yourself, a family-owned business. And their key now, though, is they want people to come there who want to get into or learn how to become a butcher.
Mm-hmm.
And they're opening up a new shop in the New Bedford area. And so they're looking for people who want to become a butcher, and they will train you and teach you the ways of the business of how to cut meat, how to look at meat, how to prepare meat, and also a little front of the house hospitality coaching, because when you go to the butcher's markets, you really feel well taken care of, like it's your old school butcher's market. So if you're interested, one, in buying great product, and two, working for a great company, go to thebutchersmarkets.com.
I'm going to sign up for that class.
Awesome. Seriously, go check it out.
Oh, awesome. My dream is to cure my own meat for the rest of my life.
Sam the Butcher.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not starting another company. I just want to learn.
Yeah, how to do gotcha. That. Gotcha.
So you did allude to you had to pull out a transfer co. Mm-hmm. Are you able to tell us, like, what was it going to be if it was going to happen? Transfer co, for those that don't know, and we've talked to various companies that actually exist in there, like Local Seafood, Person Street Bar has something going on in there. It is a food hall.
It's a community meeting place.
There you go.
Yeah. And the people that run it are incredible. The people that created it and what they put forward, and honestly, excuse me, the way in which they started this project, how they, you know, won the RFP to be able to build this project, mm-hmm. and then how they fold in the community as best they can as business owners. It's not a charity; it's a business.
Yeah.
It is amazing, and when I finally learned that I was, when I say learned, when I finally knew that the end was near of that project, I got a text message from somebody, and I probably cried on the floor of my kitchen for 20 minutes about the sense of loss, but also the sense of relief. I was trying to do something that when I looked at on the paper, it wasn't going to happen. And then after my like 9th or 10th bank visit of me going, this is what this is, and this is what this is, and here's all these things, and they go, so you're going through a divorce.
Ugh,
you just sold your house. This isn't going to happen. Next sentence, I love this place. I bring every single new client here, and I show them this place because it's so amazing. And I would say thank you. I would literally get into my car and go drive around the block and just yell at the ridiculousness of my situation.
Hmm.
In that way of like, what? You love it, you love whatever. It. Finance, though, is different. You know, if somebody's going to give you money, they want it to be money they're going to get back.
Right.
And this touchy-feely, everything is great, is something that you need to have. I could have been stubborn and said, well, fuck all this, and this isn't a da-da-da-da. I'm not going to be able to do this anymore, whatever. And what I did is I went inside of myself, and I tried to figure out a way to get out of that. And what I took from it is these people need to see a proper business. The worst part about life is when you need money, you're not going to get it. Mm-hmm. When you don't need money, people just want to shower it with, like, on you.
Yeah.
And at that point, our business, because of a depression I was going through, because of bad decisions that I personally made and the way in which I was running a business, I had to pull out a transfer company, and it was painful. It was painful for the owners of transfer company. It was painful for the community of people that – I mean, I was on TV twice telling people that transfer company was happening, and I was going to hire 10 people from the community, and I was going to create this much in revenue, and I was going to do these things. Yeah. And you get to this high of like, this is actually going to happen. And it took me probably, I'd say, a year almost to go into transfer company without feeling like an asshole for walking in there. It took me a while to see some people in there that didn't look at me like I was a piece of shit. And it was one of those moments of understanding and recognizing that if you make bad decisions and you want to stay somewhere and you want to be a part of something, you have to own up to them. And sometimes that owning up is just showing up and going, I really fucked up. I said some things that I couldn't come through on, and now I have to be here and be like, I really apologize that I put you through that as well. And it was really difficult for myself, but it was, I believe it was probably more difficult for the people that worked at Vidari at that time that didn't know how bad it was and then had to go through the internal cleaning up of Vidari starting in March of 2019.
So what was wrong at Vidari? Like, why was your business not working, or what were you doing wrong with the business?
So in 2017, we had a transition that came along. It was the beginning of the process of getting out of my old business partnership, my original business partnership. I was able to, with energy and momentum, change the finances of our company,
mm-hmm.
make it be something that is wonderful and profitable. That the new ownership started in the middle of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 months later, I started the process of going through a divorce.
Yeah.
From that day forward, it was a shit show. I was telling Max earlier that there was only two times that I had to lie to my general manager and say, I have to work from home today. I have a bunch of meetings. And I was at work, and I had to go home and just sleep all day.
Mm.
And there's a part of, like, hiding that from people that I think is the right thing to do. And there's a part of it that I don't think is productive,
mm-hmm.
but you don't know until after you've, like, seen the result of that. But going through those things and having some self-realization of what I was trying to accomplish and what I did wrong was I was pushing so hard and inflating something so much that if you don't give that much energy 7 day a week, 24-hour day thought process, you're at every event you possibly can. You're connecting with as many people as you possibly can. You're doing everything. The back end of your life is failing because you're not centered on anything and you're not putting a goal down or you're not trying to find what you really can accomplish and still have like a healthy life balance.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, if you think about it, it was a ship without a captain or a ship with a drunk captain. I wasn't drunk, but, you know, get the sort of the idea, like, sure. This is fun. We're going out here. And then it's sort of directionless or rudderless. And luckily for me, I have a really wonderful board that asked me politely to leave a meeting once. I'm the president of this company. You're great. You need to leave for a minute. And they gave me the path forward, and they set it a very clear expectation is this is the first and last time this gets to happen. We just started this new company essentially, and here's what you have in front of you. And the first thing I did is I hired a CFO, and I said, "What looks wrong?"
Yeah,
and he told me. And then I had to stand in front of 27 people. Six or seven of them at Vidary have bought homes because they work at Vidary, and you know their spouses and their yeah. life. And some people that are going to college, and some people that are going through something. And I had to tell them I made a decision. Instead of laying off 20% of our workforce, we're going to take a 20% reduction in pay, and I personally am going to take a 50% reduction in pay. And I remember a couple months later, I was having a conversation with somebody, and they said, when that happened, it looked like you had just checked out. And I said, as a clarification, that's what failure looks like.
Huh.
So if you ever see that on my face again, that's failure.
Yeah.
That's not me like, eh, whatever, don't care about you.
Yeah.
It is, that was failure. And that was the end of March. We went through a pretty intense time where we had a lot of people leaving. We had a lot of people being really upset. And I then went to my first Zingerman's Zing Train seminar in April, towards the end of April, which I got introduced to Zingerman's by a young Matthew Fern. And I went up to this How to Improve seminar, which is based upon the Toyota Lean manufacturing principles.
Oh, okay.
And Zingerman's mail order, about 14 years, started this process of leaning their entire organization. And I started this, like, that little first spark of, I think we can fix this.
Mm.
I think if this team gets information, not me getting the information and then making it happen. Zingerman's teaches you about the team and how important your team is and how important it is that you, they don't use the word surrender, but they talk about how you can utilize skills and tools that you have in front of you and people that are doing the work with you, having the ability to do that work.
Yeah.
And so that happens in April, and May, June were pure awfulness. I looked at I'm doing the future budget for our company, and I just looked back at May and June sales, and I kind of cataloged them in my brain of, like, how depressed I was and how much that affected, like, the overall. And then I kind of thought about the things that I did incorrectly and what I want to do in the future to not remake those mistakes. And then I went to another seminar in October, And then I got to go to my first game at the Big House, which was intense. My girlfriend took me. She's a graduate of the University of Michigan. I've learned it's not UM. It's the University of Michigan. And I got to go to another seminar at Zingerman's, and I got to learn more about when you're changing processes, how you have to recognize and understand that you're physically not going to make all the changes and you're not going to do all those things yourself. But yeah, the depth of that is intense.
That's crazy, man.
It's intense. Yeah.
Feel like you've gone through quite an emotional roller coaster over these last few years, and definitely over this last time. What is your current, what is your own personal mental state and the state of Vidary as it stands now? How are you feeling about it?
So a lot of my life changed on February 10th of last year. I went on a blind date with my girlfriend, and that was a key component of somebody else who does not know me. Actually, she does know me. She listened to my podcast 3 years ago.
Oh, that's right.
Nice.
On the NCFB.
I told you the story.
That's right.
So when her and I first met...
which, by the way, you guys should go listen. This is an awesome, like, just foray into chocolate and, you know, the taste of chocolate and how you make it. So,
If you're listening today thinking, we're going to get deep into chocolate, this is not that episode. First one was that episode.
So, I don't know if she told me on the first date or maybe the second or third date, but because a mutual friend of ours set us up, when she put my phone number in her phone, she has my name and then the emoji of avocado. And so
Sam Avocado Ratto.
Well, it's avocado dickhead, actually. It's theoretical because she's listening to this podcast. She's never met me before. She, you know, she heard it. She likes your guys' podcast 3 years ago.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And she's driving in her car. She's listening to this podcast. And she's like, who is this asshole that thinks he knows about the best taco places in town and where you find the best avocados? Again, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
She's listening to this 3 years ago. So we were somewhere and we had this conversation and she just like joked about it. And I was like, that is the best. And then I asked her, I said, did you go to Taqueria El Toro?
Yeah.
No, why would I? I was like, well, I mean, you want to disprove the theory.
Right.
Like, are they the best avocados? Are they not the best avocados? Do we kind of joke about
that? Which is funny. So you endorsed El Toro, Taqueria El Toro, which is South Raleigh. And from that point on, I went, and then I went like 12 times after that.
Yeah.
I'd buy tacos for friends all the time. It's legit. It's delicious.
It's legit. It's delicious.
And as former Californians, we always pine for traditional and authentic Mexican food.
Deliciousness,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
So that was like the beginning of that process of I would say the word hope I don't think is used enough. The hope that you could start changing your life by making smarter decisions about what you want to try and accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And then honestly, the hiring a CFO that understood that Vidary Chocolate Factory is similar to a farm and that we have a farm stand, which is our retail counter.
Yeah.
And then we have a wholesale business, which in farms is like grocery stores, restaurants, you know, food producers and that such. And then the accounting behind that is actually the key component of that. My CFO and I have a really good relationship because he can ask me critical questions about something and then he has 20 plus years of experience knowing small business owners that lead with their heart,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the checkbook trails them. This is you have to lead with your checkbook and have your heart trail that.
Yeah.
The core of what you're trying to do is your core values, but how you run a business is through your checkbook, not through your hopes and dreams about whatever.
Well, being an entrepreneur, doing it on your own, it's like, it's weird to give yourself rules, like when you're in charge of everything. And like Felicia and I talked about that too, about like paying ourselves an actual salary,
mm-hmm.
and like getting a paycheck as opposed to just, oh, this is the revenue we bring in and we pay our bills and then yada, yada. It's like, no, you have to be smart and you have to respect
mm-hmm.
the business and treat it just like, you know, like a human or whatever. But like you got to let it survive on its own and has to have its own ways. I was just telling somebody about how to like increase their sales and how to handle as an owner if they dine at their own place rather than getting a discount at the moment. to just reconcile it at the end of the month and just be like, every time that you pay, then you just reconcile at the end and just take a whatever cut, like a 40% cut or whatever you want to do. And he's like, oh, that makes much more sense than doing it in the moment. It's like, yeah, because you got to respect that, like, this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Make the, you know, put the strategy out there, the expectations of your business, and then call yourself out on it and hold true to the values that you set forth.
Well, I mean, I have friends that they pay full price at their restaurants.
Yeah.
Because it's harder for us as business owners to understand the actual flow of money sometimes.
Right.
Right. So if you're going to, and it also clues you into like, how expensive is this thing actually that I'm like doing?
It's, yeah.
It's like this really weighty thing of going in there and being like, oh, what's your discount? It's like, I bought this chocolate for like what it was.
Yeah.
And well, then I always you tell recognize,
chefs, like,
yeah.
When was the last time you ate in your own restaurant? And it goes without fail. Almost every chef always says, oh, it's been forever. Like, they never eat at their own restaurant. But it's like, but how do you expect guests to enjoy what you're providing if you yourself don't understand the experience of mm-hmm. what it is? And it's hard sometimes for chefs, especially if it's a small restaurant, because you can't walk into your place without your team knowing you're there. And so everything's going to be – like, everyone's going to be on their toes and making it perfect. But even still, you know, sitting at table 42 at seat 3, you'll realize that a light bulb is just shining right in your eyes. And you'd never know that if you didn't sit down and dine. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, man, I gotta adjust this, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just little things. It's understanding literal perspective. But then even just getting, like, you know, you're seeing your employees' uniforms and you're like, man, this doesn't make sense. Like, they don't look right. Like, it's mm-hmm. like little things, but just from where you're at. I will pause because this is a good time to mention our brand new sponsor that we have yet to mention on the show, because this is a good business-to-business brand that does help your company if you are in the food and beverage industry. I'm talking about eHungry.com. They are an online ordering service cooked up for your restaurant. But what it does essentially is helps you create an online store. So if you had El Toro Taqueria, Taqueria's El Toro, and you mm-hmm. wanted to do online takeout orders, they could create the online portal. So you're like, I want 3 chimichangas and 2 burritos, and I want no sauce, and this and this and that. Well, they create all the functionality for it. And they offer they do it all for 1.9% of the cost, which is pretty good. You don't pay them a service. You just pay them a commission off of how much they get used. And right now, if you start, you can use the NCFMB promo code, or let them know that the guys at NCFMB do it. They will not only give you the first 30 days free, which is what anybody would get, but by using it through us, you get 60 days free. So if you created an online store, you could test with them, see if the juice is worth the squeeze, and you don't pay anything for 2 months. So go to eHungry.com. You can get a free trial, and the nice part is they're local. They do businesses all over the country, but it was started here 15 years ago in Raleigh, so pretty cool.
If I made chimichangas, I might do it.
Maybe you need to make chocolate chimichangas?
That is an idea. Deep fried? I mean, I love deep fried anything, so.
And we might have to cut this or not, but are you able to tell us what your concept was going to be at TransferCo? Was it just going to be another version of Vidari, like another outlet, or – because I know there was a lot of partnerships over at Transfer, like the mm-hmm. blending of businesses. So mm-hmm. was it going to be a different concept altogether?
It was going to be multifaceted, okay. The best way to put it. It would have allowed our company to distribute chocolate nationally. Mm. It would have also allowed us to focus on different aspects of our chocolate making and separate a few different parts of it. We were going to have a chef demo training event space with a full kitchen that people could come in and, you know,
oh, wow.
Somebody wanted to have an event, things like that. If you want to bring a chef in and they want to do this, that, other thing, we were going to be able to get up above 100 tons of beans a year in use, which is, we would be one of like 4 or 5 in the country that are at that level.
Oh, wow.
We would have had the ability to effectively process beans in a more streamlined fashion, then we would have had a really nice retail counter that would have given us the ability to make a few things that we'll probably still come out with. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was It was a dreamer.
So having also just recently had a potential dream kind of get foiled recently that I'm not going to get into, but I want to make some moves myself and do things, and something didn't happen. But what happened in the process was I realized that when you're focused on something and you do it, a lot of momentum happens. And then even though this project that I wanted to do didn't happen, I realized that the team I surrounded myself with really galvanized and became awesome. And I was like, man, okay, team, let's not do what we were going to do, but let's do something because we've got a lot of momentum, inspiration, mm-hmm. and a good group of creatives and intelligent people working towards one goal. So with that said, would you still venture to try to do that or what you're conceptualizing in the future in another form?
Oh, 100%. And let's be honest I'm going to be honest with myself. If I would have had the ability to open Transfer Company when I did without all the things that I went through,
yeah,
it would have fallen on its face and I would have been in way more trouble than I am now.
Right. And don't you hate when people say, and everyone says, if it was meant to be, it would have happened.
It would be, yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. But if it happened and it failed, no one's going to say, well, it wasn't meant to be because it happened. No, it's just shit happens. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. It's random. But you do have to focus on things.
Yeah. This is clearly a situation where my hopes and dreams about something were awesome on paper. But the reality of it is I was not set up to be the owner of a company that was going to scale that fast.
Sure.
I didn't have the tools or skills at that time to do any of that, but I thought I did. I was getting validation from different parts of my life or people or this, that, or the other thing. And without that, I would say, massive defeat of making poor decisions for a series of years, I wouldn't be in the space I am now to accelerate what we have in front of us at Videri at 327 West Davie Street right now. I also would not have been checked so hard to recognize that I need to set up different ways to run a business, whether it's multi-million dollar or $200,000 a year in revenue. Whichever direction you go, if you don't set up your business correctly, it's always going to fail. And again, I always go back to Zingerman's Deli and the Zing Train people to recommend to every single business owner who needs something in their life to look at Zingerman Zing Train and go to one of their seminars and see what it looks like to run the best version of a business you can imagine. They write visions for 15 years out, 10 years out, 3 years out, 1 weekend out. They give people the ability to see like open book management, and they will show you everything. And then the next part of it is they will give you all of the tools and playbooks of how to run a business, and it is your responsibility to run that business. And I asked this question, they were walking us around the mail order once, and I go, does anybody get to come to these things? Like, I'm asking very clearly because I'm standing in a mail order room, big warehouse where they've done this amazing job of like running this thing. I go, what happens if like Williams and Sonoma wants to come here and learn how to do it? And Maggie Bayless goes, okay.
Right.
And I was like, but aren't you afraid? She's like, the thing is, Sam, is that I can show you all this stuff, but if you don't day to day, minute to minute, year by year, run it this way, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
We're always having to reimagine and rethink like how we're doing this. And the only reason in my mind that I'm able to do all these other things is I have now a foundation of tools. I don't have to kind of pick and choose what I think is going to work at a business. They can lay it out for you. And if you want to follow it, you're probably on a good path. And the key is the team. Roxanne, Carrie, Crystal, and everybody that works at Videri Chocolate Factory today is the only reason that I'm sitting here talking to you guys about Videri Chocolate Factory, not about, hey, you used to own Videri. What do you do now?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have a taco cart. But, you know, like that, that is huge.
How much was it a potential of Videri just going away? Was that ever on the table?
I'm trying to think of the day. It's probably in January of 2019. I had to talk myself out of like a heart attack. I thought it was a heart attack. I've never had one before, but I felt like I was having a heart attack.
Yeah.
Because I was so deep in not knowing how to get out of this. You know, when I say brain drain, my former business partner, my ex-wife, they did things at that company that I didn't know that weren't getting done anymore, the best way to put it. And revenue wasn't coming in. We were overstaffed. We were this, we were that, whatever. And in a year ago, I mean, it was very reasonable to try and figure out how to get out of my lease without claiming bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. How to try and figure out how to tell everybody at that company that, like, I don't have any money to pay payroll.
Yeah.
And for me, this is a very small, like, anecdote of I never missed a payroll. I never missed a rent check. I had to ask for a lot of forgiveness, and I had to process through what I thought of myself as a person. And then maybe 2 months later, I got notified that I was CEO of the year from Triangle Business Journal.
Wow.
And it's interesting. I was just listening to Vivian Howard give her Creative Mornings talk. And whenever it comes out, everybody should watch it. It's really incredible. But she gives this little piece of advice about if you're chasing awards or you're chasing accolades, you're actually chasing the wrong thing. And she also talks about when people say, oh, congratulations on this award, she has a very articulate way of saying, I don't like what I look like today. Thank you for telling me that I won an award, but like that award still sits in the passenger door of my car. Mm-hmm. And my girlfriend constantly is like, when are you going to take that thing out of your door? And I'm like, when I feel like I actually am a CEO.
Yeah.
When I actually recognize and understand like the moving parts of a business to the point where the people that work at Vidaire Chocolate Factory know where we're going in 10 years. And there's goals and measurables that, like, we follow to get to that vision.
Well, those goals, like, you know, if Matt and I won a James Beard Award for the best podcast about food, yeah, we would be like, high fives, and we'd be stoked, and we would wear that proudly. But then, okay, now what? Now it's tomorrow, and now we've got to interview Sam about you know, his life. So moving on, like, it's cool and yeah, it's awesome, but that doesn't change you anymore. You still got to be the CEO of the year. You still got to make chocolate. You still got to run a restaurant. You still got to do the things that you were awarded and lauded after, but it doesn't change who you are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of have to put it in the rearview mirror and just go.
Yeah. And if you don't and you hold on to it, then you're going to get accused of, like, being braggadocious about some award you won a year ago.
Can I ask, did anybody from the outside of the business, like somebody you didn't know, or if I had not knowing this was going on, walked into Vidaire, would I sense it? Do you think there was anything from the outside? No.
I can't answer that question.
You can't answer that question.
I physically have, when you ask that question, could I tell? It's only through my
I think
you'd have to source your listenership to be like, I did notice that the trash can wasn't emptied. Like,
Did anybody come up to you and say, or maybe that you knew and said, hey, you know, Sam, is everything okay? Like, what's going on with the business? Like, oh, I went into Vidaire the other day and this happened or something like that.
So I have a positive and a negative answer for that.
Okay.
My positive that I see as a positive, and my friend Emily talks to me about this all the time, I'm very effusive with my feelings. So if you see me, you will get what I'm going through.
Yeah, yeah.
The negative part of that is I'm a little bit too jumpy about telling people about what I'm going through and how I'm feeling.
Oh, yeah.
I did notice a few different times that my staff was not engaged with people
mm-hmm.
because, to be fair to them and to be honest, they weren't being treated with respect by the owner of the company. And you could say it in a way of, like, not being honest is not treating you with respect. One of the main reasons that I kept going is because I love making chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I learned that this is how you make bean to bar chocolate in 2009, that's a core value of mine, that I love making chocolate. And I recognize that that is really wonderful and neat and special, and I have the ability to make a living. But people coming into Vidaire seeing something, I imagine if you walked in there, I know I saw it. I would talk to people, and they're just like, yeah, whatever, I'm clocking out, clocking in, I'm leaving.
Right.
And I got very lucky that the people that work there now believe in me, and they believe that our organization is community-driven. We're a values-driven business that wants to do well for ourselves, our community, the communities that grow and process cocoa beans, and that we'll do things like espresso shots, not gunshots, to help bring a little bit more awareness through the people of Moms Demand Action. Or, you know, working with a group like Raleigh Pride. Those things that, you know, people kind of shy away from in that way, that's something that if somebody came in and said, oh, this chocolate doesn't taste good anymore, oh, maybe the guy's depressed.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
This, like, is not made with love any longer.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the one thing that I can say is that specifically Carrie Blackburn and Crystal Blaylock G, they, in their departments, whether they wanted to kill me or whether they thought I did an okay job at the last all-staff meeting, they took personal pride in the job they were doing,
mm-hmm.
and they took personal pride in making something delicious. And everybody that works there does that. And that is the reason that a bunch of people didn't come up to me and say, hey, man, I walked in there and that 70% tastes like shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, I didn't hear it. Now, granted, not a lot of people will share the negatives with you, which I find actually more upsetting than somebody going, oh, amazing job.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'll just write it on Yelp or, you know, the equivalent.
Well, I'm saying, like, fellow business owners.
Yeah.
I'm in the wrong a lot of times where I will walk up to somebody and be like, I don't think you're doing this right. I don't think that the what like that. Are you sure you want to do it that way?
Funny that you say that. I had dinner or I had lunch yesterday with a friend at a place that will be anonymous because I don't like.
It's called McDonald's.
Shit about somebody, but it was a new restaurant and a small, like, quick service type of place. And I'm having lunch. Food was mediocre, and my lunch guest did not like the food at all. And when the owner came by. This is where you got to listen. You have to listen to people. When the owner came by, he's like, hey, fellas, how's everything doing here? And I went, it's fine. And my guest was like, yeah, it's okay. Like, we were honest. It was fine. It was okay. But if you hear that, you should probably ask a follow-up question. But his response was, great, man. Good to hear it. Awesome. And walked away.
Just hearing what they want to hear.
Yeah, I was like, you did not hear. And I wasn't trying, you know, many times people, when you just go like, hey, what's going on, Sam? And you're like, or like, how you doing? Great. You just say great because you don't want to get into it. But if like, how you doing? I'm a little depressed right now, man. Shit's kind of going on the wall. It's like, oh, wow, this is happening. So I get why those like superlatives, they just happen because you don't want to engage. But if like, you're at your business and somebody tells you how they feel, you should listen to them and you should kind of deal with it.
Hold on. I feel like we are human beings and we shouldn't just do things because it's rote. So yeah. Listen, sometimes you're busy and you can't. So, you know, nobody's perfect, but I always try to give a genuine response if somebody asks me how I'm doing. I'll be like, I'm really fucking tired today. Or, you know, I'm really feeling good. Or my kids are driving me crazy. You know, like, I don't need to go on a whole diatribe, but I'm going to give you a snapshot of, like, what's going on. I try to do that, you know.
Was it Daniel Ballou said, because our friend Brooke, remember Brooke Lemma, the... he worked for Daniel Ballou, and he said that one of the first things he had learned from Daniel Ballou was, as a server, never ask a question to guests that you genuinely do not want the answer to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's like, so don't walk up to a table and ask how is everybody doing if you don't care
how they're doing. Everybody is doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. and that's great, too, because then you can take the bullshit personality out of it and just give somebody great service, and you don't have to be – you don't have to, like,
put on a show.
Yeah, you don't have to be genuine. Like, fake smile. You could just be like, hey, I'm here to give you everything that you need. Right now, I'm stressed out because my wife and I are going through a divorce or something. But you don't need to know that. And I also don't have to let on to that. But I also don't have to pretend like I'm the greatest, like, happiest person ever. I'm just going to do all the things I'm supposed to do.
Right.
I've, in the past 2 years, the amount of times I've said terrible when somebody's asked me how I'm doing. And it's interesting, the people that step up in your life when you say that, and the people that don't.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's been really fascinating for me to watch that. And the people that give you critical feedback, those are the people that will hopefully, if I act correctly, they will allow me to stay in their lives forever. But that's another reason of like being honest with people without being mean is a key component of saying, I just didn't think that was good. Or even the tough conversation of talking to a friend that owns a business that said, you know, I know you're trying to go for something, but that didn't, I don't like, can you give me more insight on like, is this what you tried to give me?
Yeah.
Like you go some places and something doesn't taste good. And you ask them like, is this what it was supposed to taste like? Or I've been eating this for 5 years. It doesn't taste like this anymore. Did you guys change? Because you're a business. I'm a business owner. Did a producer change, or did you?
Yeah.
Is this vendor not supply this kind of olive oil that really keyed into this thing or whatever? Before I go, oh, this person's garbage and they don't know what the fuck they're doing. It's like that is the other part of like some grace and empathy where you can ask some questions to see, or somebody might walk up to you and be like, yeah, man, executive chef walked out yesterday and we're piecing it together.
Yeah.
As opposed to me going on Yelp and going, this thing that I always eat is terrible now. I've been coming in for 20 years. And it's like, well, I mean, like maybe the person had diarrhea and couldn't come into work and like they're special and they make it a certain way. You know, like there's a lot of parts of
it's
it.
It's funny. I worked at Wolfgang Puck Cafe for 5 years or whatever, worked for Wolfgang, and his tortilla soup was fantastic. Everybody just like people would just come in just for the tortilla soup. And he got big enough to where he created a commissary kitchen and they started cooking everything, you know, baking, doing it all in this like Beverly Hills adjunct to Spago. And they're sending everything out now in like, you know, vapor sealed bags or whatever.
Cryovacs.
And so we all had chefs at our respective locations, and now the chefs didn't have to make the soups. And, you know, initially you're like, cool, that's one less thing to do. But then the second we opened that thing up, heated it, and served it to our guests, everyone knew it was different.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was like, what? What is this? No. And so it was so immediate, and we got such instant feedback. Why is this different? Why is the thing that I come here for changed? That process lasted like 2 weeks, and then we had to go right back to the old way. But, you know, you try.
You live and you learn.
Processes change. And sometimes that shit happens all the time. You never know the difference because you're so good. The company was so good at making that adjustment that they nailed it and maybe even improved the process by doing it that way. Because that's kind of the idea, is like to streamline it, right? So it doesn't have variables.
Process improvement without a core value is going to be bad. Process improvement with a core value at the forefront of it. Like when we talk about core values at Vidari, our niche is dark chocolate.
Yeah,
our niche is not the best dark chocolate. It's dark chocolate. Everything that comes out of that factory is about dark chocolate. Everybody wants us to make a white chocolate bar. It's not dark chocolate.
Yeah.
We make a delicious buttercream caramel crunch bar that has white chocolate that we make in-house, but it's covered in dark chocolate.
Yeah.
That is like a very rudimentary example of that, but a lot of people miss the mark on it for different reasons, and we don't... I know a person that I think is making mistakes, but I haven't had the opportunity to talk to that person about their thought process through it. Because their thought process may be, this thing that I used to make cost $9 and I sold it for $10. I need it to cost $4.
Right.
So I had to make an adjustment. And yeah, the flavor might suffer from it, but I need to pay my bills.
Yeah.
And I try and take that benefit of the doubt on that a lot. But... again, I'm an asshole, so sometimes I'm just like, this is garbage. Or, as my wonderful girlfriend calls me, Snobby Sam. And it's apt.
Your avocados.
I'll walk into a place and eat something and talk to somebody, and if the service is bad, I don't want to go back there.
Right. I find that it's so much more affecting to have bad service than to have mediocre food. Like, if the food is okay, but the service is great, I'll definitely come back.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't do it the other way around. I feel like you piss me off. You put me in a wrong mood, well, I'm sensitive. and now I don't like being here. So I don't care that your chimichangas were delicious. I'm not coming back. I can get those somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what's on the horizon then, or what can we – any new and exciting things then coming up for Vidari that we can expect?
When we first started Vidari Chocolate Factory, Clearscape's architecture firm has always been our architecture firm, and they've done an amazing job and always have, and it's just an incredible partnership we have. And I needed a different approach and timeline. And so I saw Lewis Cherry at Poolside Pie. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
friend of the show?
I was like, Lewis, I'm in a pool right now. How did you do this? Yeah. And we chatted about it. Him and his architect, Allison, have come over and helped us craft a different way of bringing guests into our space. Hmm. If you think about Vidari Chocolate Factory, we celebrated an 8-year anniversary on December 15th of opening our doors. That space has essentially been the same for about 5-6 years. And it was built for a different purpose. That factory and space was built for a wholesale operation.
Yeah.
A week after we opened our doors, it was immediately a retail cafe. That being said, all of those walls and the way it was constructed is for something totally different. And yeah, we've piecemealed in one way or the other what this is and what this isn't. Mm-hmm. And so that is the first thing that we'll do. We're going to bring out some new products probably in October or November of this year. If I can write a vision, set goals and measurables for the team and I to be successful, the next thing I'm going to continue to put my health, well-being, and the health and well-being of our staff in front of profits. And I'm going to continue to go to Metabolic 2 days a week with my friends. Maybe once in a while go to Flowcore, but it's very hard. Pilates is very hard. And then I have a goal of beating Anthony at Flywheel. I lost to him by 6 points, I think it was.
We're talking about Anthony Guerra of
Oakwood Pizza Box. The Pizza Box. He cheated. I'll say that on air. He told me afterwards why he cheated. I lost a bet to him, and I had to buy him and his lovely wife dinner at M Sushi. Hmm. And it was the best bet I've ever lost. I'll be honest with you.
Right.
And so the next bet is whoever wins is taking the other person to death and taxes. So, like, this time I'm going to cheat.
Yeah.
And by cheating, here's what I'll tell you. He went on a warm-up ride in the morning. He got a Swedish massage, and then he warmed up before the class started, so he was at 100%. Meanwhile, I had gotten off a day of work and roasting. We're roasting, you know, you got to move a bunch of beans around.
Dude, he had Mamba mentality, bro.
He had Mamba mentality.
You just weren't there.
And let's be honest, I like that.
Yeah.
And I'm just a sore loser. The fact that, like, I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know you could warm up mm-hmm. for an entire day. But what he showed me is focus and dedication are more important than your perceived action on that thing.
Mm. And he wanted to win.
He wanted to win. And he deserves to win.
Yeah.
He does. I mean,
he was prepared.
Look at how he planned. Look at how he prepared.
Yeah.
I'm coming in there. I smell like cocoa beans. Mm-hmm. I go into class.
That's what that is.
I got my shoes on, right? And I do my best, and he's just right past me.
Maybe you should think about getting a Peloton.
Oh my god!
And then you could train.
Yeah, he told me 2 days ago that he would get a $100 referral fee if I bought one. I was like, "What do I get?" He's like, "You get a Peloton." I was like, "Not enough." But if I had room in my apartment, I would definitely get one.
Don't gift your girlfriend or your ex-wife a Peloton.
That's the most ridiculous.
So lame.
What, this is when our society has become
politically
correct.
So Peloton, for those that don't know this, it sounds like Sam might know this. There was an ad that came out where the whole ad was the husband gifted his wife a Peloton. Uh-huh. And for a year, she documented using it. She loved getting it, receiving it. She herself was skinny and in shape and, like, you know, fit. And she documented just her struggle and her focus and determination and put, like, a video. So then the next year she gifted him this, like, documentary of, like, thank you, what you've done for me, whatever. And it's sweet and, like, take it for face value. That was pretty badass, the whole thing. He gave her something she wanted. He listened to her. She wanted this. Mm. He gave it to her. She then responded with a thank you that encapsulated proving to her husband why this was important to her. In this documentary that she gave. But what did the super overwoke society say about this? Oh, how dare a man give a woman something to get her in shape? That skinny bitch didn't need to work out for the beginning. This is the wrong message. You should have shown, like, an out of shape person get healthier and do whatever. It's like, can't she just love to work out? And that's a thing that her husband knows about her.
In the wellness space?
Yeah, it makes her feel good. And it wasn't about improving. It was about consistency. It was just about love and understanding. Mm. And so, people were dropping Peloton.
A great message.
Yeah, it's like, get out of your own way, people.
I also think the problem with being in this society and the way it sort of thinks about things, and most of this is on the internet, let's be honest. Yeah. Like, you're not getting a phone call from somebody directly being like, I didn't like the way you did this. Is that we don't see that if somebody is excited about something, we let them be excited about it.
Yeah. Don't tell, now, no, granted, don't tell me why
Peloton
you don't like
and
it.
A marketing company and all that sort of stuff. Sure. I understand the concept of body shaming, and it's really gnarly to go through that, especially as a woman in this society, and especially people seeing like an already in shape person being more in shape and how disrespectful this is. I get that part of it. But then I look at it and say, what if that person wanted to do that? Like, what if that was a real story? And obviously they marketed it up and they did a good job, whatever yeah. advertising agency did that.
Sure.
But for me personally, exercising with somebody that like I'm in love with and want to share something with, it accentuates that workout to a place that yeah. like, I'm like, that's rad. So that maybe they missed that part where they're both excited about it.
Mm.
And like they're giving each other positive feedback about themselves. Yeah. And like she asked for something, he gave it to her. And like, wow, this is really rad that yeah. this worked out.
Right.
But yeah, the backlash shows... part of it. I didn't even know that. I thought it was just like the general, like he gave it to her, like you try this woman. Like I didn't even know there was like a larger part of where she's like, yo, thank you for doing this. And I feel better about myself. Like I would not have been able to get through the last 3 years of my life if I didn't have an exercise outlet. Yeah. When I go to that metabolic gym, they always have like a boxing portion of it.
Mm.
And there's been multiple times that I've been in there doing whatever, out of gas, out of shape, probably hungover,
mm-hmm.
just screaming at that punching bag saying, you wasted my fucking time. You wasted my fucking time. And I didn't have to do that to a human. You know, I didn't have to like tell that human that. Yeah. I was like, okay, great. And I was actually in an exercise class the other day with somebody, and they came out of it with the same fire they went in there with about complaining about something. I looked at her. I was like, yo, you need to work out harder so you have none of this energy
yeah.
leaving that hour class we were just in together.
Yeah.
Like,
leave it in the dojo.
Like, this is about, like, betterment. Like, those chemicals that are being, produced and all the shit that's being expelled. Like, the amount of times that I've worked out that I've smelled like a bar afterwards.
You're like what Matt and I smell like right
yeah.
now.
And yeah. I'm like, I'm not saying that I didn't smell like that yesterday. Like yeah. I went through what you guys went through last night the day before.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean, it's so much, but the Triangle Wine Experience is so great and they raise so much money for the Frankie Lemon School that why wouldn't you want to be excited about something like that? And granted, you know, maybe too excited.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit too excited.
Maybe we got,
yeah.
maybe that's... we all, you know, we took it to an 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
We got to get out of here, but I want to kill two birds with one stone, two beautiful, fantastic birds that support our podcast. You mentioned Triangle Wine Experience. I'm talking about the Triangle Wine Company,
mm-hmm.
who is a great wine and beer retailer that supports the show and has supported our longest tenured sponsor of the show. We love those guys over there. With four locations, you can get whatever you'd like, both online and they can deliver to you. You can go straight in and chat them up, and they're extremely knowledgeable about everything. One of the things they sell at Triangle Wine Co., trianglewineco.com, is Proof Alcohol Ice Cream. Mm. And Proof Alcohol Ice Cream is a sponsor of the show. They have gifted us with a Proof Alcohol Ice Cream freezer in the kitchen and are loaded with ice cream that's infused with alcohol, 7% alcohol. And Sam Ratto, I'd be interested to know what the chocolate man would like to take home with him.
I saw a mocha chocolate in there. I'm going to try that one.
Boom. Why there not? It is.
Yeah.
And it will make you think differently about dessert.
Mm.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so go to Proof Alcohol Ice Cream for more information. Click the show notes in our show notes. Click the link in our show notes, that is. And, yeah, I mean, this felt very cathartic. I hope to listeners that this did too. We don't always got to get deep into the culture of food. This is the food and beverage industry. These are things that happen. And going through change and understanding a life plan and guidance. And sometimes it doesn't make – sometimes your business doesn't make it. Sometimes your relationship doesn't make it, but it's...
Sometimes that happens together.
Yeah, mm. all at once in 3 months. Holy shit. And then you gotta focus on what's next. And so, Sam, thank you so much for being brutally honest and unafraid of just telling us your feelings, because I think I know people listening appreciated that. So,
well, I appreciate you guys. It was nice to get another invite back to a fun show. I hope that somebody also makes up a funny nickname about me and then meets me 3 years from now.
Yeah.
And goes, oh, yeah, that's what we call you.
Well, and you had a couple of good ones today. Snobby Sam.
Snobby Sam is a good one.
That's a good one today. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a legit nickname. Like, I love that nickname. But I appreciate you guys and what you guys do. And showcasing Raleigh in this area and the food scene is incredible. Moving here 11 years ago, it's incredible to see what this community has been doing and how people that come into this community uplift what is already here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's just a really neat place to live. I mean, I'm not moving back to California, Max. I don't know if you are, but... Yeah. This place is really, really rad. So support people that do great things. Yeah, and we just partnered with Black and White Coffee Roasters, and they run a really rad coffee counter inside of Videri. Follow us on Videri Chocolate. You can follow my personal journey, as I like to call it, on Sam Videri and on Instagram. And if you like cured meat or Legos or maybe pizza or ridiculous posts about how effusive I am for my love for people and things, please do follow me because it's hilarious.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks for what you do, and best of luck to you and to Videri moving forward. Yeah. So for all of you out there, go to Videri. You will eat and drink very merrily.
Thanks for listening to the NCF&B podcast. And if you've stuck with us this long, review us on iTunes and remember, 5 stars are encouraged.